This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. You know, it is challenging enough to keep things together for a large orchestra filled with talented musicians. So now imagine adding to the strings, winds, and percussion an entire ecosystem. Well, that's the premise for the Great Animal Orchestra Symphony. The composition blends the sounds of a live orchestra with recordings of animals in their natural environments. The Raleigh Civic Symphony performs the piece Sunday at Stewart Theater in Raleigh. The performance is part of the North Carolina Science Festival. And joining me now is Peter Askham. He's the conductor of the Raleigh Civic Symphony. Welcome, Peter. Good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Also with me is Richard Blackford. He's the composer of the Great Animal Orchestra Symphony. Richard, so good to have you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Well, tell us how you were introduced to this idea. I understand that it was a collaboration with ecologist Bernie Krause that got you going on this, huh?
That's right. Bernie Krause wrote a book called The Great Animal Orchestra, and it became a bestseller in the UK. And I listened to a BBC serialization of the book, and as well as them reading extracts of the book, they actually played some of the animals. And as soon as I heard the gibbons serenading each other in the morning in the Borneo rainforest, I thought it would be incredible to add to that a live orchestra. And so I Skyped Bernie, and he said, I think you better come over to San Francisco and let's talk about this.
So how do you do that? What was your vision initially? Because it's one thing, I mean, you know, you sort of understand these songs, and obviously if we think about birds and some other, and any of the sounds of nature, they sound sonorous to us, they sound musical. But now integrating them, what was your first impression of what you might do with this?
I think the first thing that Bernie felt really strongly about was context. He said composers throughout the centuries have attempted to imitate the sounds of animals, from bird sounds in the 17th century to Beethoven's cuckoo in the Pastoral Symphony to Olivier Messiaen in the 20th century imitating bird sounds. And he said, I don't want you to just create trophy recordings and surround that with an orchestra. I want the whole bit, the whole environment. And so if you can create the actual niches in the way that nature organizes from bats at the very highest limit of the spectrum down to the lowest sounds of elephants and gorillas, and you can somehow try to emulate that or give the illusion of that and then frame recordings of Bernie's own work over the last 40 years, he said, then we might be in with a chance. And I think the most difficult thing was actually technological, the question as to how to combine those things.
Well, so does that mean that you had to pay attention not only to the sound of the animal but the ambience? In other words, what's that background sound that we may not even be paying attention to that is the backdrop for the sound that then makes its way into our foreground?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think creating an environment with the orchestra whereby the keyboard player who actually triggers samples of animals is actually in sync with, for example, a whole percussion section. So it might be a frog that is stridulating on a couple of notes can actually be transferred to a musical keyboard, and that means he can play in perfect sync with woodblocks and temple blocks and timpani and all kinds of other things too.
Stridulating, by the way, is a permissible word. We just checked with the FCC, and you may say that on the radio. So double check that. Well, Peter, let me talk about conducting a piece like this. The animal sounds, as Richard suggested, are actually sampled on a keyboard. So at least you don't have to conduct frogs and gibbons. But how about what's it like to conduct a piece like this?
Yeah, well, it's a really interesting experience because there's different ways to work with pre-recorded sound, and often in earlier times, you would do a piece for tape and orchestra where you would have to line up with the tape, and it would be either with a click track or with a stopwatch or just a lot of luck. And the way that Richard has done this, working with a live player triggering these sounds, really makes it a living piece of music. So to give the cue to the keyboard player and have the sound of a frog come out and have it be in tempo with all of these other instruments, it's really, it takes a little bit of getting used to, I would say. But it's an amazing experience and makes for a very live
performance. I want to play a clip from the first movement, the introduction to the composition. What should we know about this piece that we're this segment that we're about to hear?
What you're going to hear at the beginning is the way in which you hear filtered from the highest frequencies of cicadas and birds to the introduction of gibbons, and then the whole orchestra emulates that and joins in from the highest registers to the lowest, like a giant kind of tuning up.
Let's listen. There's an excerpt from the first movement of the Great Animal Orchestra Symphony. The Raleigh Civic Symphony performs the work Sunday at Stewart Theater in Raleigh, part of the North Carolina Science Festival. And my guests are composer Richard Blackford and Raleigh Civic Symphony conductor Peter Askim. And Peter, I understand that this is a local symphony performance, but I understand there was some talk that the animals might boycott because of HB2. Apparently that didn't happen.
No comment. No Thank comment. We talked with their people, and we've arranged it to
they're,
happen.
They're coming. Anyway. Richard, let me ask you about how much, if any, of the sounds of the animals were processed or changed in order to make them work in this symphony.
We decided, because the piece is so much about the environment, that we wouldn't actually mess with the recordings. The most we ever did was actually to filter, but we never changed pitch. We never fed them through a ring modulator or you know, made them sound more fancy. And I think part of the roughness of them is part of the charm. And I think that some of the sounds are so extraordinary in themselves that if I were to hold my hand on my heart and say these sounds are exactly as you would find them in the Borneo rainforest or the Amazon jungle, that has a whole lot more credibility than to say we spent 6 months tinkering around in the studio.
Well, Peter, does it change the way the musicians themselves play? I mean, do you bow differently? Is there a way in which you're trying to get a different timbre to sort of stay sympathetic to the environment?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a great section where the putu comes in, and this is imitated with a trombone, and the trombone matches those pitches and matches that sound, and so it becomes hard to tell which is which, and which is a joy to get those sounds out of the orchestra.
Well, that's actually, we have a sample of that, and we can hear a little bit of that right now. It's an excerpt from this would be the fifth movement of the Great Animal Orchestra Symphony, where we can hear that interplay between the sounds that you just mentioned. Thank you. That's an excerpt from the fifth movement of the Great Animal Orchestra Symphony, the Raleigh Civic Symphony, performs that work at Stewart Theater on Sunday, part of the North Carolina Science Festival. My guests are composer Richard Blackford and Raleigh Civic Symphony conductor Peter Askim. Is there, Richard, are you working in any of the standard classical forms, symphony, concerto, sonata, as you compose this?
Very much so, yes. It's a five-movement symphony, and I decided that I wanted to try to embrace as many of the experiences of being out in the natural world that I and Bernie were able to do. The first thing he said to me, he said, you can't just write this from the comfort of your studio. You get out to Borneo. So I did. And so I started to incorporate classical forms. There are two scherzos, and the whole element of play is really important in the animal world. Mating, the tragedy, the slow movement about a beaver whose dam is blown up and loses its mate and cubs. And that's an absolutely heart-rending sound. And I thought, well, that will be an adagio, like an elegy for that creature. But I use classical forms like ritornello, variation forms, the extract that you just heard, with the incredible musician Wren, who sings 44-note melodies and then goes back and repeats them again and again.
Well, I want to get a chance to hear another excerpt from this symphony. Let's listen to this piece. This is an excerpt from the second movement of the Great Animal Orchestra Symphony.
Thank you.
There's an excerpt from the second movement of the Great Animal Orchestra Symphony. The Raleigh Civic Symphony performs the work Sunday at Stewart Theater in Raleigh. It's part of the North Carolina Science Festival. My guest today, composer Richard Blackford and Raleigh Civic Symphony conductor Peter Askham. Richard, I'm wondering if you listen now to sound, if you approach composition differently, having had this experience.
Yes, it's completely changed the way I feel about music. And I think one of the things that Bernie taught me was to actually listen with new ears. Certainly that was the experience of going out to Borneo, to the rainforest, especially at night. And some of the other people that were there hoping to see exotic snakes and things, I spoke to, and they said, we haven't kind of done very much, haven't seen very much. And I said, haven't you heard something extraordinary out there? And they said, no, we didn't kind of bother to listen. And I realized I was one of those people before I did the Great Animal Orchestra. I do listen now, and not only to animal sounds and the sounds of nature, which Bernie Krause calls biophony, but also sounds from other natural sources, like the sounds of wind and rain, and then the sounds that humans make as well, which are many and diverse. So all of them seem to have musical, melodic or rhythmic potential in a way that they never did before I did this project.
I want to thank you both so much for being on our program. Richard Blackford and Peter Askham. Richard is the composer of the Great Animal Orchestra Symphony. Peter is conducting the Raleigh Civic Symphony on Sunday. You can find out information at our website, stateofthings.org. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Raleigh Civic Symphony performs the piece Sunday at 4, Stewart Theater in Raleigh, part of the North Carolina Science Festival, and we have the information at our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things is a production of North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.